Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. Welcome to the Egg Chasers podcast, episode number 2. I'm Tim. With the usual crew. Do you mind being referred to as a crew?
Team? Squad?
Team, squad. Squad.
Gabble.
I like that. JB, the angry Welshman. So, waving doesn't really come across.
Hi, Tim.
Blake, the rugby league convert.
Hi, Tim.
And the man who brings us proper credibility because he earns a crust from playing rugby, although not very much, because he's with Sedgley Park. It's Phil.
Hi, Tim. Hi, right. Egg Chasers.
Yes, hello, Egg Chasers. And do get in touch, give your thoughts on anything you hear during the podcast, and you could feature on the very next episode. It's at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and eggchasers.com is our website as well, where there's loads more stuff. Right, shall we get going then with the State of the Union? The Rugby Championship. Let's talk Rugby Championship for a second.
Yeah, did you see the fantastic game between Cornish Pirates and Bristol yesterday?
Yeah, it's very good.
I did notice the return of Gavin Cattle. I thought he retired like 2 years ago.
Good scrum half. He's been in the dream team in the Championship year after year.
He's a great player.
This does actually highlight just how ridiculous the name of the tournament for the four Southern Hemisphere teams is, because it's just called the Rugby Championship. Is that not the worst name of a rugby tournament?
Dreadful.
Absolutely awful. Get Super in there. It's worked for everybody else. Just put Super somewhere in the name and I'm sure that the viewing figures will go through.
What about the Southern Hemisphere International Tournament? What's the acronym for that? Well, maybe not.
I think that's have the words intercontinental.
Tricontinent after the Tri-Nations.
I like that.
It's a Tricontinental Bowl. There you go.
Or the Quad Nations.
So what do you make of that so far? As far as I can tell, just the gap between South Africa and New Zealand and the rest of world rugby is just growing.
Yeah, massively. New Zealand are by far the best team in the world at the moment. South Africa, close second. Probably their chances on Saturday were slightly affected by Romain Poix.
Just slightly.
I haven't actually seen this, but I've heard he's had a nightmare.
He had a horror show.
Yeah, the first yellow card for Bismarck Duplessis, probably the hardest man in world rugby at the moment, it was never a yellow card. It was a perfectly legitimate tackle that was given as a shoulder charge, no arm tackle, yellow card.
Weirdly, he referred the brawl that ensued afterwards to the fourth official, but didn't refer the incident. So the fourth official showed that there was no problem with the brawl. There was a bit of pushing and argy-bargy, but nothing wrong.
Can we rename it then? I hate the word brawl being thrown about if there's a bit of argy-bargy. We'll call it an argy-bargy from now on.
Handbags. There's a bit of a scuffle.
I don't think the
hit was a brilliant, legitimate hit.
Mm.
I enjoy a good brawl or argy-bargy. What the South Africans must make of this, who love a good brawl, I do not know.
How big are the South Africans? It's ridiculous.
They are big guys.
It's pretty intimidating.
It's unbelievable.
So everybody in South Africa, if you ever go... This is how I imagine Irish people feel when I walk around there.
I was looking at South Africa and New Zealand and going, right, bar the odd player, a World 15 is between these 30 guys right here. How many Northern Hemisphere players? I just fear the gap is growing. How many Northern Hemisphere players would make it into a World 15?
A couple, possibly in the front row. Adam Jones.
I think he needs to look at the French team. Doucetois, something like that. But
Domingo, the front row for France, is pretty
handy. Oh, he's
pretty
handy.
He's ridiculous.
He's a special specimen.
Fofana as well is one of the best inside centres.
But would he get in at centre, though?
It'd be tough competition. He'd probably get in the 23, Jean de Villiers or Conrad Smith.
George North, he'd be in a World 15 on the wing, wouldn't he?
I'd have thought so. Northmolian.
Exactly, this is kind of my point. So far we're only mentioning Welsh players. And then probably Lee Halfpenny would be in with a shout as well.
Jamie Roberts would probably give it a good go.
Jamie Roberts.
I mean, if you're looking at Jan, like Jan de Villiers, why wouldn't you look at Jamie Roberts?
A lot more skillful, much better hands, one-dimensional.
It's a very good dimension, though, isn't it? It's a massively impressive dimension.
So, but there we go. So the ones that are even in with a shout that we're mentioning are all Welsh, from the home unions at least. Which of the Englishmen is closest then? Is this a worrying sign for us?
Maybe one of the scrum halves. They're pretty good at scrum half.
Youngs and Kerr are pretty good.
Yeah, they're only pretty good, though, aren't they?
There's a few who, a few years down the line, could be there. Possibly Launchbury, possibly one of the Vunipolas.
So the New Zealanders that were playing might get in the New Zealand team. Brilliant.
I think we'll move on with that one and go to the next point in the State of the Union, gents. And moving over to football for a second, and the headgear that Wayne Rooney wore in order to play for Manchester United against Crystal Palace.
Very fetching.
Can you describe it for me?
It was like those earmuff things that runners wear, but made of the stuff that scrum caps are made out of and worn above the ears. It did get me thinking about the other items that you see on footballers, some of which have made it into rugby, and I'm wondering which of these might make further moves into it. So we've seen the protective headgear, you know, Petacek wore a rugby scrum cap, basically, still wears one.
The rather worrying development of footballing sleeve tattoos coming over to rugby is what concerns me most. In fact, I'd say that the rugby league guys are actually trailblazing.
Well, we're leading the way.
Yeah.
100%. What really worries me about this kind of stuff is training gear that's made its way onto acceptable to wear out in public. If you ever see a man in an Under Armour on the street, that's not acceptable, and I think it should stop.
I saw a worrying thing in week one of the Premiership, and that was Luke Wallace of Harlequins wearing an Alice band. You know, the sort of thing that Fernando Torres and David Beckham used to wear, just keeping the hair off their face, but meaning they have it long.
In the match?
Get a haircut.
Yeah, Luke Wallace wore it
in
during a game for Harlequins. He wore an Alice band. I think the general shock in the room is probably saying everything.
I'm speechless.
I tell you what, I remember David Seymour when he had his long hair. I'm pretty sure that he did the old David Beckham, you know, the two samurai thing, you know, the two samurai ponytails.
Yes.
And I'm sure he did one to the side too.
What, like a plait?
No, do you know when you go to watch these boxing events and you see the young ladies going out with the amateur boxers and they have their hair slightly to the side? That kind of look. Like, actually, a ponytail to the side.
Like in a bad British hip-hop video.
Well, yeah.
I think there is manly ways to keep your hair back. Like a lot of cutting it is probably number one. But you do see that's right up there. But you do see a lot of islanders who've got those tiny little ponytails that go down the back of their hair, and I personally think they're quite cool.
You think they're manly and cool?
I think
the
they're
rat
really
tail.
Cool. Yeah.
What are they? Does anyone know what they're actually
called? I was gonna say, before we start ridiculing like Mulapola's long rat's tail, I don't know if it's like a religious thing.
Cultural.
Cultural and or religious, so yeah, maybe we'll swerve
not
that.
Interested in either.
Right, I want to ask you this. We've got a couple of backs in amongst us. Phil and Blake are both wingers. So, have you ever worn tights during a competitive match? Because I know that a lot of players wear this in training nowadays.
Never in a match. I did tour in Poland a few years ago, mid-December, and the standard Polish playing kit is a full tracksuit underneath your shorts and rugby tops.
Wow.
But no, never worn tights for a game.
I've definitely worn tights for a game. For a proper game.
Of union, not league?
It was both, actually.
You're a cross-code tight wearer.
I'm a cross-code tight wearer, but I thought it was quite a sensible move, to be honest.
No.
Well, do you know where that originated, the wearing of tights? I know it's very...
Like Ryan Giggs.
It's commonplace to pretty much every rugby club up and down the land these days on training nights. But it was for Leicester Football Club. Keith Weller was the player, and it was for an FA Cup tie in the 70s. It was nearly frozen off, and he brought with him and wore a pair of his wife's tights.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Because Under Armour wouldn't have been available in the 70s.
No, this
not
is
even
true.
Close.
This is true. And one final thing, just to round this one off then. Another thing which I think started in football and has moved across to rugby and is now just commonplace, the colour of people's boots, but I don't think anyone cares now.
No, and they're also doing the things like two different boots. So if you've got the same boots as your teammate, you just swap one boot each. So you have a blue one and a yellow one.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Oh, it has. It has happened.
You're thinking of barbarian socks.
Am I? I don't think so.
Because I know you are someone who occasionally dabbles in the front row with pink boots on.
I have had pink boots and I have been in the front row, so both those statements are true.
Right, we'll move on. Let's talk about this Heineken Cup standoff between the English and French, who are threatening a breakaway, and the Pro 12 stance, but then the curveball's been thrown in where Leinster are going. We're going with the English and French.
Wise.
Yeah.
Who's right, who's wrong? Do you have an opinion?
No.
The English and French are correct. It's a bit of a joke at the moment.
No, I disagree, actually. I think the format of it is fundamentally right. All the English and French want to do is add more of their teams. Now, it's up to them how they organise their own domestic league.
Well, no, they want to have fewer of the Pro 12, because at the moment, all 12 of the Pro 12 teams qualify for the Heineken Cup.
That's right.
Whereas it's only the top half of the French and English leagues.
But that's up to them how they organise their allocation of Heineken Cup spaces.
Well, no, it's not, because European Rugby Commission, or whatever they're called, are dictating how many of each country, and they're also distributing the funds. So the Pro 12 team get 52% of the funds, whereas the English and French share the rest of it. So it's fundamentally flawed at the moment, particularly when you consider that the majority of the best teams are in England and France, besides a few Irish teams. No one wants to see Zebra versus Connacht in the Heineken Cup, do they?
Well, what we're going to say then is we're going to have one Welsh team, one Irish team, or maybe none. It could be three Irish teams, one Scottish team. And the whole point of the Heineken Cup is European flavour.
Agreed. It should be the Celtic and Italian teams. They should have a shot at it, but it should be based on performance. You shouldn't just have all the Pro 12 qualifying automatically.
I've got an analogy. I see this as like when people who live in the countryside moan that their broadband is rubbish, right? And the cost of putting the cabling to those people would be great for those people, but the cost has to be absorbed by everyone, whether you live in the city or the countryside. We all sort of contribute to that in one way or another. Should we put the Italian, Welsh, Scottish and Irish rugby back on, like, dial-up?
A little bit like socialism, actually, and I'm not part of that.
You know, if you're like Brian Kennedy, the owner of Sale, and I'm the match announcer of Sale, believe me, I want nothing more than to be stood next to a dugout where Toulouse and Toulon and Leinster are coming. If you're running a Premiership club at a loss, and you're watching Zebra getting the Heineken Cup, yeah, losing every single game in the last year.
Not even winning a game in the Pro 12.
I know.
Yeah, but you got...
But
yeah,
getting a Heineken Cup place.
But then on the flip side, you kind of go, well, if you just take the funding away from Zebra, that's going to go. All the professional
exactly.
players will be gone, and Italy will never move on as a country in international rugby. How about, let's just be a bit like Italy for a second in a war.
Surrender.
And just pick a side.
Exactly.
You can change your mind down. You can change your mind down the road.
Losing sides.
You can change your mind down the road, but let's just pick. So if you had to pick one way or the other, keep it as it is, or change it as the English and French teams have said, what would you do, JB?
Keep it as it is. It's a good competition.
Keep it as it is.
Phil?
I'd change it. And Cocker?
If it was only a choice of completely changing it and keeping it the same, I'd keep it the same. But
go.
I think there's got to be a middle ground. Wow. That was quite a serious debate there, gents.
Too serious.
Well done.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
Right then, gents. Now, you remember last week on the Rucked Up interview, there was a really insightful chat with Gavin Henson. Today, I've managed to bag James Haskell. Injured currently, but back in the Premiership with London Wasps after going to Japan, New Zealand and France, of course. So here it is then, the Rucked Up interview with James Haskell. But before we get going, JB, our legal eagle.
Yeah, I've got to tell you that this is strictly not real.
It's Rucked Up, man!
James Haskell, welcome. And did you catch the first podcast from last week?
I literally had no idea what was going on for most of the time.
Oh, well, sorry about that, James. We'll try and make this one a little bit better. Let's move on with the chat. And let me take you back to the 2011 World Cup. You're in New Zealand. You're out on one of these nights out that we heard about in the tabloid papers. What really went on in those bars?
You see some bizarre things. Dancing dwarf holding a Jaeger bottle. They'd be on fire, scream, fighting each other or knocking each other out. They were always trying to headbutt me, so I was swerving at all times.
So it was all true. Well, that was really honest of you. I appreciate that, James. Be honest about this. Of your England teammates, who do you find most attractive?
Danny Kerr. Danny's a very good-looking guy. Danny and I spent the Sunday afternoon just getting into each other.
Crikey. Thank you, James, I think. Right, quick-fire question time. How many players in a rugby team?
I don't know, really. Do you know what I'd go for? 17.
No, close. What's your favourite animal, James?
Wasps.
Yeah, I probably could have guessed that one. Right, your mobile phone, get it out. There it is, yeah. Now, look at the last text message you got sent. What does it say?
You're a prick, signed Warren Gatland.
He's not messing about. Right, next question, James. What's the nickname for your privates?
Angry Squirrel.
And who came up with that name?
Joe Worsley.
Angry Squirrel. Nice. One more thing before you go. Can we get one picture of you, maybe where you're wearing some rugby kit? just for our website, you know.
I mean, there's very rarely a photo of me with my clothes on.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem we're having. Oh, well. Cheers, James.
You know, I enjoyed it. It was very good.
It's Rocked Up, man.
Wow, very insightful there. Chat from James Haskell, I'm sure you agree.
Fascinating.
he's in ridiculous shape, that man, isn't he?
He's a freak. I mean, out and out freak.
I'd like to see him fight PSB. So this is how my mind works. Every time I see, you know, see someone on the rugby field who looks fairly muscular, could he fight PSB?
When you just see him, like a shot of him, his shoulders and stuff, he looks like he's got one of those shrunken heads that those African tribes get. His head is tiny. He is just a monster of a man. And every team has one of those massive mutes that to look at you go, oh my God, you're going to be a world beater. And then actually when the whistle goes and they start, there's other players that are a bit better.
Oh, Tony Buckley.
Big lad.
Yeah.
He is a proper meathead as well.
Yes,
isn't he
is. And let's stop there. Yeah.
With the huge players who look like they're going to be incredible, the lower level it is, the more impressive someone looks, the worse they are.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Yeah, completely inverse.
I've played against some huge men who are absolutely awful. Yeah. But they think, oh, well, he's 16 stone and can run 100 metres in 11 seconds, put him in 13.
That's JB, isn't it?
Yeah, you watch these guys in the warm-up and go, oh, man, we've got our hands full there.
Why me?
And they can't catch or pass. But what do you make of James Haskell? Is he Tom Croft's out for the season? Has Haskell got any chance of getting that sixth shirt?
Tom Wood would be the first choice. Vunipola was playing six at the weekend.
Ben Morgan Rob Shaw can go to six.
Yeah.
No.
He seems like an interesting guy, Haskell, though.
He's got a lot of other interests off the rugby field.
Yeah, supplements, coffee.
I quite respect that, because I've always said if I was, say, a professional footballer and I had the potential to earn anywhere between $5,000 a week to $120,000 a week, why wouldn't I go to Brazil for 1 year and pick up, you know, $20,000 and sit on the beach?
Yeah, and travelling the world as well.
Exactly.
He's played in France, Japan, New Zealand.
No doubt he'll be a pundit at some point.
I do find, though, the James Haskell, the brand, it's going down the footballer route a little bit, isn't it?
He does. His favourite hobby does seem to be posting workout videos of himself on YouTube.
Topless.
It's
to be fair, well, if I look like that, you wouldn't get me putting any clothes on ever. Oh, let me just say, by the way, the website's now live. Have you seen it?
Very impressive.
Good, eh? Yeah, not bad.
Very professional.
Yeah, well, we are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the International Rugby Centre.
West Wing Studios.
Studio 15.
Studio 15, yeah.
So it's www. We don't need to say www anymore. No one says www anymore.
HTTP.
:// It's eggchasers.com. So get on there and see what we're muttering about. Get involved as well. And at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, which is where I want to direct you for this, because we're about to select another dream team. And this is a dream team because invariably one of us egg chasers wakes up out of a slumber and we've invented some little topic to pick a 15 over.
I've been looking forward to this one for a long time.
Today's 15 was actually, what was your idea, wasn't it, JB?
It might have been. I might have a hand in it.
Brothers, rugby brothers, where one player is loads better or worse than the other. The runt of the litter 15.
Or I've got a job because my brother's really good 15.
Well,
In some cases.
So let's go 1 to 15 then.
I could not think of a single front row. How awful is that?
Thanks for suggesting the topic.
My 15. I've got loads of others.
There's loads of good sounds.
Yeah, and there's loads of brothers that play in the front row.
Yeah.
But there's no bad ones.
Well, Tom Young for quite a while was the runt of the litter until the last couple of years. And then the Lions tour when he
Damn
was
you,
starting.
Tom Young, and your success. You got the Franks brothers, pretty good.
Yeah.
You'd be struggling to say one of them is a runt of any litter.
And the Duplessis brothers. I'll let you tell him. You tell Yanni that he's the runt.
There's quite a few, but no.
All right, so we need a bit of help with the front row. There we go.
Yeah.
So front row on this runt of the litter. 15.
I do have a hooker, though.
Go on.
Tim Rouse.
Scott Briggs.
Neil Briggs.
Neil Briggs is
Neil Briggs
brother.
Of Leicester Tigers, formerly Sale.
London Welsh.
Neil
London
Welsh. Got a brother that plays.
He plays for Sedgley Park.
There you go.
Does he?
Thank you, Mr. Briggs.
And thank you, JB, for bringing me up. Yes. So this is actually how this topic came about. My brother plays for London Irish. In my defence, and this is probably what a lot of these people will pick would say, is I was way better than him when we were younger.
Hang on. Can you prop?
No.
I thought we had a way out.
We need some help with prop. We're loaded with hookers. Let's move on to the row then.
Oh, where do we start? We could use Craig Quinnell. We could use Gavin Quinnell. Brent Cobain?
Brent Cobain! What was his brother, Matt?
Matt Cobain.
World Cup winner, 60 caps, Brent Cobain. He went on a Lions tour. He didn't get a cap, but he went on a Lions tour.
Quite good for Ospreys before he came over. But he wasn't as good as his brother, Matt, who had, I think, 68 caps. So
we're loaded with second rows.
Caleb Benazee, the brother of Abdel Benazee.
What a great player his brother was.
I've got a great one. Will Johnson, Leicester Tigers.
Oh, let's move into the back row. He was a six, wasn't he?
He could play second row as well.
Oh, we've got loads of back rows as well then.
Oh, have we?
Good. I don't know. Well, let's put Will Johnson at six because we're loaded with Quinnell's, Cobain and Benazee.
Will Johnson at eight and then move Cobain to six. He has played six.
Well, hold on. I might want to suggest Mark Easter for eight as well.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, good.
Yeah, very good call.
Because for a long time, I think Mark Easter was sort of the better of the two. Nick Easter was very much a latecomer to rugby and they just completely eclipsed him.
Yeah, he played it. Started off at Otley, was it?
Definitely then.
But Will Johnson, definitely. Imagine being Will Johnson's kids and how unimpressed they are. Any other kid would be like, my dad was a professional rugby player, played for Leicester.
Is Uncle Martin coming on anytime soon?
The back row conversation has just sparked another second row.
Go on.
With a famous back row brother, Magnus Lund.
Oh, brilliant one.
Eric Lund, who was formerly of Sedgley Park and Leeds, went to Biarritz pretty much just because Magnus Lund was there.
He is a scary-looking man, though.
Incredibly intimidating.
Yeah.
But not very aggressive.
I think he might be let off this just for the fact that Magnus Lund isn't as good as we thought.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
He got a dozen England caps or so.
Yeah, and then he just disappeared. Vanished.
Are you proposing it could be the other way around, then?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
We've got to the end of the forwards, but we, as you just heard, we need some help with front row or any other suggestions you want to make at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and we could give you a little shout next time. Backs then, scrum half.
Okay, I'll kick off. Dave Andrew, brother of Rob Andrew, plays for Darlington. He did 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If any of you have got a better fly half than the one that I've got, I'll buy you all a beer.
Go on then. No.
I've got a brilliant winger.
Got a few wingers, but no.
They played in the same team, Mark Wilkinson.
Of course!
Boom! Thank you very much.
Again, imagine being brother of the greatest player your country's ever produced.
Exactly. What a sad existence. And also playing in the same club.
They've got a clothing range together, the two of them.
Have they really?
But one of them features in the photography for the site. Which one do you reckon?
Oh! I was reading the stash brochure from a few years back, and there was a model in the stash brochure, and I recognised him because he used to play for Broughton Park and could make the team. And I'm sorry if you've already got it, Tom Foden. Tom Foden was the model in...
What position did Tom Foden play?
I think he's playing outside centre for Chester at the moment.
That is literally the only person I had to say. Thanks for that.
Sorry, mate.
Blake's been quiet, just biding his time, waiting for number 13 to come around. And so Tom Foden, we can slot in at centre, potentially.
I think so.
There's a couple of Armitages. Is that the plural? Armitage-i? Armitages, who haven't played for their country, play in the centre. Bevan, who still plays at Doncaster. And Guy Armitage, who's at London Irish, although he's...
Guy's
only
starting now.
He's only young, so I think Bevan...
It's just Bevan, really, isn't it? Poor Bevan. Tom Foden and Bevan Armitage.
Well, yeah. I've got two more. Number one is a Tuolangi. Andy Tuolangi.
Yeah,
Andy.
I think people just read the name Tuolangi and think I've got a 1 in 5 chance of getting a player.
I'd hate to be the runt of that litter.
Yeah. Oh, God. Although I think I've got another starter for you and a potential captain, Dave Umunga.
Because there was the son and father. There's Mike, who was... Mike Umunga was like Rotherham coach for a bit.
Yeah.
And after he played, had a good international career. Dave Umunga. Tell us about Dave Umunga. Because Tanner, New Zealand captain.
Well, legend.
After years of being overlooked by his family, he had a chance at redemption and played against his brother and really showed his brother what was what by losing 13-71. So, Dave Umunga. No, thank you.
I actually think I've got the captain right here when we go to the wings.
Ooh.
I'm curious what your wingers are, Phil, because I want to see if we've got the same one.
There's a picture that I sent everyone over the weekend that was of Josh North, the pencil neck paper pusher, Josh North.
this
younger brother of George.
We don't even know if he plays rugby. We're just bullying him. This is just bullying.
Judging by that picture, he's not as good as his brother.
Oh, that was a picture off George North's Twitter of him at Josh's graduation, wasn't it?
Yeah, so congratulations to him on passing his degree.
I think probably he did play rugby and then just saw how immense his brother was and went, forget it. Josh North, congratulations on your degree. If you've played rugby, you can be in this run of the litter 15. Otherwise, John Lomu.
Oh.
John Lomu.
Oh, wow.
Younger brother of Jonah, obviously. He had a rather different role during the World Cups of 1995 and 99. During those two World Cups where Jonah Lomu was changing the world of rugby, John actually had a stint playing in Wales. He was once on the bench, not even in the 15, on the bench for Ithtydians or something like that.
No idea.
In a Swalec Cup second round tie against Cwm Llynfell. He was on the bench, so he didn't even make the 15, and he got sent off without even playing. There was a fracas going on between
the
four.
And he joined in.
John Lomu ran off the bench to get in the middle of it, got himself sent off.
Wasn't John Lomu famous for a little while, other than the rugby, for having the most expensive car stereo system in the world.
Most powerful.
That's
certainly.
The one.
Yeah.
Which is by the by. But I tell you what, if you were to read this team sheet, it'd be terrifying.
Umanga, Lomu, Foden.
A bit left field, potential winger. So Ryan Giggs.
Oh,
famously
nice.
Son of a rugby league player.
Ah.
Also played a bit of rugby league when he was younger and has got a famous run to the little brother who could fill the wing position, Rodri Giggs.
That would make a change. Ryan's normally the one doing the filling when it comes to those two brothers. Again, not mentioning anything for legal reasons.
Alex Tate.
As a fullback.
As a fullback to round off the 15.
Yeah.
Yes.
Alex Tate. Any other fullbacks?
And Alex Tate actually had a good game last Friday. We're going to hear from him in a minute.
We are. And just to round it off, actually, a manager, Ed Miliband.
Well done, Jay. He always gets it back round to politics in some way, shape or form. So there you go. We need a little bit of help. If you've got any more suggestions, then please at Rugby Podcast on Twitter or eggchasers.com on the website, and I'll stick that 15 up there. Now, he came up in that run to the litter 15, but now on the Egg Chasers podcast, we're going to hear from Alex Tate. I had a little natter to him straight after Newcastle's first win in this season's Premiership away at Sale Sharks. I had a little chat to him about his recovery and also asked him, of all the people that have ever worn the fullback shirt, who wore it best?
It's a shock to the system. This Premiership, every game's 80 minutes, and you know it's going to come for the 80 minutes. But that's why we want to be here. That's why we want to play. We want to play at this high level and compete against these sort of players. I'm just happy we've got the result tonight, and we've just got to keep it there.
How's the recovery after a day like today? Obviously on the bus back, do you let your hair down a bit?
Well, it's up to Dino whether he stops at the offie or not. He has done in the past. he probably did it a lot more last year than he probably will do this year.
I think you've earned that though, haven't you, tonight?
Yeah, we maybe earned a couple of beers, but we know we don't want to get overboard. We're two games in, and we've got a very, very tough game up next week. So recovery and preparation is going to have to be top notch.
And then, what is it, on the sofa all day watching rugby all day?
Bit of the pool in the morning. Might go for a bit of golf, but don't tell coaches. And then, just wind down, ready to hit it hard on Monday.
And one final question we ask everyone, of all the players that have ever worn the number shirt you've had, if you had to pick one?
Well, the guy played at the club, it's Matt Burke, he's unbelievable. And I had the opportunity to sort of see him in action when I was in the academy, and in full flight, he was pretty special. If I had a tenth of the amount of talent that bloke had, it was unbelievable. He just goes through massive walls of defence, and he used to call it Matt of the Match by the end, because he used to get a Matt of the Match every game. He's just unbelievable.
The thoughts of Alex Tate after that win. Big win for Newcastle Falcons away at Sale Sharks. He's grown a fetching beard as well, is Alex, but what do you make of his selection? Matt Burke, the greatest fullback of all time?
Yeah, probably one of the best Australians ever. Him and Chris Latham.
Yeah.
Both outstanding.
Both that similar mould. They're just massive. Don't look like they should be as athletic as they are.
Yeah, and both, they had incredible ability to look like they're travelling really slowly while passing every single other player on the pitch.
Who else would get on the shortlist or maybe even overtake Matt Burke as the greatest fullback of all time?
as having played fullback a decent amount, my two favourites are Jason Robinson, who was just outstanding, electric.
He was mine as well. He was
to have been that good at both codes.
Christian Cullen?
Yeah, Christian Cullen was my other one. Yeah. He was
Christian Cullen just had he was exceptional. And then just fell off the face of the earth. Yeah, just disappeared.
I looked him up. He's only 37 now. He's not been playing for a long time.
He went to Munster and did nothing.
Yeah, it was like 2006.
Like, spells have been great again.
Be a shame if that tarnished his sort of legacy. Because like you say, there was a while there he completely reinvented what it meant to be a fullback.
Yeah, I think he's still the top point scorer. Top try scorer in the Tri Nations.
One person who would fit in any era, Serge Blanco.
He was
an awesome player. And I remember when I was first getting into rugby, like the 87 World Cup, I remember being really little and watching it, and it was that French back line. They had Berbizier at scrum half, Philippe Seller at outside centre, Blanco at fullback. What I loved about him, he had gas, he had a step, lethal counter-attacker, solid defence. He used to smoke 50 like high nicotine cigarettes every day. And it's made all the better by the fact he's a massive porker now.
He's huge now, isn't he?
Do you know the guy who I think would have been remembered as better if it wasn't for injuries is Matt Perry. But he might still be England's most capped fullback.
Well, England have got a bit of a dilemma at the moment with kind of four fullbacks. The worst of him, or the worst of him, in my opinion, was starting the Six Nations in Goode.
Yeah, I do.
He's out of Tate, Foden, and Brown, and Goode. He's probably the most conservative choice, least dynamic. And I can understand that he's got distributing skills, so he can come in and play pivot and that kind of thing. And his kicking is very good. But if you want someone who's going to get over the game line.
So can we settle on one? I'll tell you what, Blake, you've been very quiet because obviously it's all right. We haven't been talking about rugby league. If you had to... Now I know who you're going to pick.
Now you know exactly who I'm going to say. Jason Robinson. His footwork was just so... It was electric, it was. I mean, he could step anybody. He would step around raindrops when it was raining when he was playing. He was a freak. And to cross codes, I mean, it was upsetting when he did.
He'd achieved everything in rugby league and he came across and he achieved everything.
I'd be very happy with that.
I'd struggle to find a better one.
Done. Now then, we come to that point of the podcast where it's a chance to vent your spleen. It's a chance to get those gripes off your chest. And this can be rugby-related or non-rugby-related. Every rugby club has a man and a dog on the touchline. We've got JB's dog, Rudy. And we're now going to find out what's making Rudy sad.
I'll go first. Very, very, very casual, but this weekend was the first weekend of the Rugby Championship. Not the one in the Southern Hemisphere, the actual real one.
The Green King IPA Correct. Championship.
That's the one. RFU Championship.
Now, what they do, and they do this numerous times, and it's always annoyed me, but I've never had the actual forum to express my annoyance, is they do the thing where they get all the captains of all the teams to go to a stately home or whatever the background is, and they hold the cup or they line up behind the cup, and they're all in their kits. But they wear trainers. They wear trainers on the grass. And they look like they're wearing clown shoes.
Yeah.
Why don't they just wear boots?
It looks so stupid, doesn't it?
It is so stupid. This one's goofy.
Six Nations, Heineken Cup, they all do it.
And they're all walking in their full kit down a road, but with trainers on.
That's often across a field, like striding purposefully across a field as if they're about to play with some nice white Asics.
Exactly. So trainers.
That's making Rudy very sad. But I've got something that's made Rudy very sad this week, and again, it's nothing to do with rugby, this one. Women thinking that your pockets belong to them. Mm. Like, I'm some sort of lip gloss Sherpa on a night out. They take little clutch handbags which fit nothing in and then expect you to carry everything else. And it's not on! Gentlemen, it's not on!
I've got another thing that makes Rudy sad this week.
Come on then, Phil.
So, I think I was on Lovell Rugby earlier in the week looking for some all-important new stash. And there was an advert for X-Blade's boot manufacturer, and it featured two prominent stars from both codes of the game. So Rugby League, they had the dynamic, evasive Sam Tompkins, probably the biggest name in the game.
The only name?
The only name in the game. Who do you think they had for the Rugby Union star?
Rupert Moon.
So it's clearly, obviously by the line of question, it's clearly someone who's
not quite the same as...
not quite of the same level. So let's go with Tony Buckley.
A little bit
Danny Cipriani.
A little bit better than Tony Buckley, but not quite the same level.
John Hayes.
It was Old Mother Hibbard. Richard Hibbard.
Oh, wow!
So his fat face and stupid blonde hair was stood next to Sam Tompkins.
Is this the level rugby which advertises the Cougar boots for the second rows, and its tagline is, provides great soft cushioning for when I land in the line-out.
Yes.
Really? Does it?
Great soft cushioning when I'm stamping on opposition's heads.
When I'm Nick Wooding the hell out of someone.
I think we should end it there, gentlemen. Phil, Blake, JB, thank you very much for being here on the podcast again. Obviously, I'm Tim, and we are 24/7. You can catch us and agree with us or disagree with us, whatever, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com on the website, and tell your mates, unsubscribe, and we'll deliver the very next Egg Chasers podcast directly to you.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.